Larry the Cable Guy, questions about IP, and is Jeremy Strong from Succession the new Daniel Day-Lewis? Question mark? All this and more on a brand new How Did This Get Made mini episode. Hit the theme! What is up, my Melissa Joan Hart and Mario Lopez stands? Welcome to a How Did This Get Made mini episode. I'm your host, Paul Scheer, aka Tall John, and we got a big episode. It's not even a mini anymore. Basically, a regular size episode. We got a lot going on. Jason Mantzoukas will be here in just a little bit. We'll be talking about what we're watching in another edition of Quarchat. Plus, we'll give you some gift ideas. By the way, if you are jonesing for some gift ideas, I showed up on Add to Cart, which is a great podcast hosted by Kulap Vilasak and also Suchin Pak. And I have given, I think, a great list of recommendations, things you can primarily get on Amazon. They brought me back after my appearance last year. I like gift giving. I think I do a good job on that show. I come prepared. I hope that maybe if you listen, you might be able to find some things for people in your life that have odd tastes, like popcorn machines and books about Marvel and other weird shit. I don't know. I think I'm threading a good needle there. Am I talking about anchor chargers? Yeah, I am. Why? Because you need an anchor charger. They're so slim. They're so compact. I actually got an anchor charger for my laptop. Anyway, let's not get into all that. All I want to tell you is not only do you get Jason, not only are we going to tell you what movie we're watching next week, we are also going to go back in time just a little bit to talk about this holiday classic that we kicked off our holiday movie season with, Holiday in Handcuffs. Sorry again for that repeat episode, but normally we do the repeats at the end of the month, but we're doing some live shows here in Los Angeles and virtually this month, and we wanted to make sure that we got them out in time for the holidays. So what we did was we put our repeat at the beginning of the month instead of the end of the month. So I think for a lot of you, you didn't even realize it. But I'm going to be clean with you. I'm going to come clean with you because if you're listening to the mini, you're in. You know what's going on. By the way, we are going to be in Vancouver in February. That's right. How Did This Get Made is back on the road. Vancouver is really interesting because Vancouver is the last live show that we ever did for the Just for Laughs Festival. We performed there, and that was like 4 days before the world shut down. And we're going to be coming back February 24th. It's a Thursday night. You can get tickets and information about where we're performing and the time and all that sort of stuff at hdtgm.com. And make sure you subscribe to our mailing list because we have some new LA shows coming up as well in January. We're back at Largo. We're back, you know, we're getting back into it. We're figuring it out. And every month you can see Jason and I improvise with our group, Dinosaur. It has Rob Hubel in it and Owen Burke and Rob Riggle and Chad Carter and Phil Augusta Jackson, Charlie Sanders and Seth Morris. It's a great group. And that is once a month at Largo. We'll be back December 20th. That will be a live show at Largo. And then we are back, I think, the 24th of January. But you can see, you check the calendar. No big deal. A big thing that I want to do before we move the show forward is say thank you to our great Francis Day for that amazing theme song that was reminiscent of the Ramones. I loved it. And now let's get to you. You got problems. I got solutions. It is now time for the Paul Helpline. Ryan Thomas, take it away.
Hello. I'm on the phone. And I'm
I like that theme. All right, Ryan, let's get into it. You got problems. I am going to try to solve them. And you know what? If I can't solve them or I'm not solving them as well as you want them to be solved, then you know what? You become the therapist. You take over and do that at the Discord. Our Discord is at discord.gg/hdtgm or at discord.gg/Paul Scheer. Both thriving Discords, full of great people and fun stuff. Free, 30 seconds to set up. There's no gimmick. It's just ease of use and good people. It's social media without the assholes, or at least in those two spaces without the assholes. All right, Doug, what do you got?
Hey, Paul, this is Doug Hoyer, and I have a question for you as a Hollywood insider. I just kind of want to know, if you happen to have an opinion or a thought on this, what's the logic in remaking a television series for streaming platform? Like, I saw there's a Cowboy Bebop remake from the anime series, and they've remade it into live action. Now, I see the purpose of remaking movies for theatrical release for theater, like the Disney films that they're remaking and, you know, retelling those stories for a new generation and also to, you know, get people into theaters and make some money that way. But on streaming, they've already subscribed. So why is it just the IP? Is it just because it's a known quantity to some people and so might get eyeballs and keep them on the platform for 10 more hours versus making something new, maybe with an existing property, a la Star Trek Lower Decks and things like that. Anyways, I'd love to know your opinion on why some things are made. Cheers.
Doug, this is a really good question, and I think you kind of answered it a little bit, but I want to kind of talk about what you were saying about Cowboy Bebop. Like, why would they make a live-action Cowboy Bebop? And I think the idea is, why not? I don't know. I think this idea to, like, take animated things and bring them into the real world is bizarre to me, because I think the whole idea behind animation is that you can do things that you would never be able to do with live action. So, like, am I interested in Akira, the live action version? I guess, yeah, kind of, but I don't know. I think you were more along the lines of being right when you were talking about IP. IP, these studios have IP, and when they make something that they already own, they make more money from it because they are the owners of it. Instead of getting a new property, or if they have to go get a book, they have to buy that, they have to bring in another producer, they own some version of it, so they're able to get another version out. Now, I have a big issue with this, which is we are spending way too much time remaking great things. We should be remaking shitty things, because this is my big theory. Like, give me a year and I can reboot three awful pieces of IP and make them better, because all these things that we don't like, especially here on this show, they can be so easily fixed. It's a good premise executed poorly, instead of taking something that's a great premise and then trying to re-execute it. It's very, very hard. So to answer your question, I don't know exactly. I'm sure it is a money thing. It's in the library. I've had a lot of meetings where people are like, what do you like from our library? I've worked on IP. And I'll tell you my issue with IP, personally. It sucks. It sucks to work in IP, because why everyone likes the IP is different. So you're not making the thing that you want to make because it's like your vision. You have to answer everybody else's vision. So if you do get to make something with IP, do an IP that no one really gives a shit about or isn't that invested in, because I do believe that that actually helps. Like, I think Jason Reitman walked a very fine line with that Ghostbusters. Seems like people loved Ghostbusters, but like, that's a scary IP. Why would you want to get back? Why would you want to do it? And it's a struggle, because you get in there and then you're going to be upsetting someone along the way. So just make your own stuff, or make stuff that people don't care about. That's my opinion. But you know what? People are able to pull it off very successfully. As far as Cowboy Bebop goes, you know, I don't know, because I would imagine that Netflix doesn't even really own Cowboy Bebop, because they acquired it. They must have seen on some level that Cowboy Bebop was so successful, and instead of like making more, they just decided to remake it. That's what I would imagine. If it's down to Netflix, I think that they can figure out, you know, by the second, like who you are, how long you watched, what people want to see. They should be creating the best of everything, because they can literally see what people want in ways that I don't even think we understand. I mean, you know, they got all the data. All the data's right there. I don't know if that answered your question. It's a big clusterfuck. But all I'm going to say is let me make Logan's Run. Dan, what do we got?
Hey, this is Dan. I know it's a little late, but Jason was asking about who could possibly replace The Rock in Fast 10. And I know it's an impossible question because nobody could replace The Rock. However, in The Tooth Fairy Part 2, The Rock was replaced. He was replaced by Larry the Cable Guy. So, if The Rock is unavailable to do Fast 10, I think we have a perfect solution. We get Larry the Cable Guy in there to do Hobbs. I don't know. I think it's perfect. What do you guys think? Bye.
Oh, Dan. You son of a bitch. You fucking son. Don't pull that bullshit. Don't you think Larry the Cable Guy was as good as The Rock in The Tooth Fairy? How dare you? How dare you? No, I mean, The Rock is irreplaceable. I mean, truly irreplaceable. I mean, the only way you could replace The Rock is if you replaced him with someone as iconic. Did I call The Rock iconic? Yeah, I did. Like Keanu Reeves, Will Smith. I was going to say Charlize, she's already in it. Like there are people that like, they'd have to be almost as big, if not bigger than The Rock. Not in size. I mean, that's impossible. Just in stature. I mean, you can't just put Larry the Cable Guy in. But by the way, in the Fast and Furious world, I wouldn't doubt that that guy's working in a garage somewhere in Fast 10 or 11. I mean, honestly, now that you brought it up, I want to see it. All right. This is a call we got from Vicky Roma.
My name is Vicky Roma. State number FF793. This is a notification from our Department of Tax Debt and Financial Settlement Services.
All right, I'm going to stop that a little bit early. Vicky, you sound like you are not a true listener of the show. Let me play a little bit more.
The purpose of this call is to inform all U.S. citizens on our state list about the new tax debt compromise program.
All right, stop again. Vicky. Thank you. By the way, I appreciate you looking out for me as far as the tax and credits and stuff like that. But I think you're using this as an ad platform. I don't like it. Do not call here anymore. Okay. I'm sorry, Vicky Roma, you're banned from the show. And finally, let's get Katie.
Hey, Tall Down Cheer, Cody and Devin. This is Caitlin from Chicago. Longtime listener, first time caller. Always wanted to say that. I had a response from Mark from Seattle about the ghost friends from last week's mini episode. I really resonated with their question and wanted to share a bit about my experience with this. I think there are a lot of different types of platonic relationships. And for me, I'm a childless person in my 30s, and my availability obviously differs greatly from my 40-year-old friend who works full-time with two toddlers. So I expect their availability and communication style to be different. And I definitely grant them a lot of leeway because of it. But if your friends aren't reaching out to you at all, even just to say hello or check up on you or forward you something funny they saw, maybe it's time to just take a step back and give them the opportunity to reach out without being the one to always do so. I had to do this with a few friends because I just felt that there was a lack of effort on their part, and I decided that wasn't something I was comfortable with in a friendship. And when I did so, one friend started taking the initiative in regards to communication, not necessarily planning, but it at least felt less one-sided and allowed them to be more assertive and also make me more comfortable in the relationship. I think when they're used to someone else doing the heavy lifting, they can take it for granted, while people who are natural initiators like us may get a bit resentful over time. I did lose touch with two friends from this, and I guess that's the risk if you want to take it. But it did give me some closure on the situation, and I felt a bit relieved that I didn't have to do all the work or wonder if they even wanted to hang out with me. And it's also made room for deeper connections with the friends that have hung in there and showed up, so to say. So thanks, Paul and team. Keep the shows coming. The HDTGM laughs have helped me through some really difficult times. Huge thank you for that. Bye.
All right, Katie, this is a good point. You are right. Ghost friends. I know. It's tricky. It's a tricky business. I think you're right. Actually, after we had this conversation, my wife brought up this issue that she had with a friend of hers that kind of called her out for not responding. And she felt terrible about it. And I think, oh boy. I don't know. I am mixed on it, but I think you're right. I think that you are. I sometimes think that friends are cyclical. Like you go through certain moments where you see them a lot and then you don't see them a lot. And or at least I think that that's where I'm skewed. But I think you are right. Sometimes you gotta either call it right out. That's what this friend did to June. Or you just wait until they come back to you. And maybe it is. Maybe it's like a fine wine. It ages. The friendship ages because you're not, I was going to say you're stoking the coals, but now I'm saying wine and coals, whatever. All I'm going to say is, Katie, you are right. Thank you. You both taught me. You both. Who's you both? You and Dan, the guy who said the Larry the Cable Guy? Come on. You both taught me a lot today. You all are teaching me a lot. Continue to teach me. Continue to ask me questions. It's a two-way street. 619-PAUL-ASK. That's the number. 619-728-5275. Call it anytime. 24/7. Call me on Christmas Day. I don't care. I'm not going to pick up. It's not a home line. Nothing's ringing. So go for it. 619-PAUL-ASK. And you know what? For all those people who are like, well, I live in a foreign country. It's a Google number. It's a goddamn Google number. It's not that big of a deal. Call it on Google. All right. By the way, a big thank you to all the amazing people throughout the entire year who make this show great. And the way they make this show great is through their amazing themes. They write it, they record it, they send it to us at howdidthisgetmade@earwolf.com. And when it's short and brief and great, it gets played a lot. And we want you to do it too. So just follow those steps. Write it, record it, and send it to howdidthisgetmade@earwolf.com. We'll be right back right after this commercial break. All right. This week we are doing something a little bit different. Since last week's movie was a re-release and we already did Correction Zone missions for Holiday in Handcuffs, Jason and I got together for another Quarchat and we just chatted up the things that we are loving. I'm going to say a couple things here to start this off. One of the questions that we get asked a lot during the holidays is about our bags. Jason and I love a bag. We love a bag. And I'm going to tell you some of the bags that we're rocking. We're talking about Tom Bin. Tom Bin is a great bag maker. I love Topo, T-O-P-O, as like a simpler backpack, a very pared down backpack. As a matter of fact, after pandemic, I've been using that one a lot more. I like that one a lot just because I just haven't been carrying that much stuff. I also am a big fan of a Herschel fanny pack. I wear a fanny pack. I wear it like a bandolier, like Chewbacca. Those are some of the bags that we are often talking about on the show. I also want to look here in my closet because I'm looking at some other bags I have here. You know, I just think that you're not going to go wrong with a Tom Bin bag. You're not going to go wrong with a Topo bag. Tom Bin is like, don't fuck around. Let's get it going. The other thing I want to bring up to people's attention, if you have someone in your life that loves to wear the like hats and caps, New Era has got some fun caps like Thanksgiving caps and Halloween caps and Christmas caps that, you know, for that sports fan in your life that you're like, well, I don't know what to do. Maybe I can get him this. Like, there's literally a Thanksgiving Clippers hat. So there are some good things there as well. I'll tell you, I fell down a rabbit hole this week and I'm in charge of stocking stuffers for my family. And, I bought these like little cleaners for, we'll talk about it in a second, not about this, but, for my AirPods, because they do get full of junk and they're gross. And I didn't even occur to me that I could go clean them. And there's a great, like Good Grips. I'm a big Good Grips, person. I love Good Grips. They have like a little cleaner for that. So there you go. Again, you want to hear my full list, popcorn machines, movies, all that sort of shit. You can hear about it on Add to Cart. I didn't talk about the Oculus Quest 2. I'm on the fence about it. But because I haven't played it, but it seems pretty great. Anyway, here's Jason and I. But before we even do that, let's hear the Quarchat theme by Honest Jams. Quarchat with Jason and Paul. They'll probably mention something off your radar that you kind of like and something you don't care for at all. Jason, here we are.
Here December. We are.
I was thinking,
yeah,
in addition to what we did, now I'm throwing this at you, we should maybe be thinking a little bit about some gift ideas that we might want to tell people to get as well. Like, because a lot of our Choir Chat is books and vinyl and things like that. You know, so if it comes up naturally, we can flag that
for
people.
I think there's
like,
a couple of things that could fall into that category. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So this is perfect. We have been in it. I have been watching so much more.
Oh, good.
So I have a lot of things to talk about.
Bring it
I realized,
on.
Yeah.
What do you got?
Oh, my gosh.
Because I got a big list, too.
Okay. I want to start off with this podcast I've been listening to that I absolutely love. It is called Haleywood.
Okay.
And Haleywood is the story.
H-A-L-E-Y? Do you know?
H-A-I-L-E-Y.
Great. Thank you.
And it is the story of Bruce Willis and this town that he moved to with Demi.
Oh, in Idaho?
In the early 90s. Yes.
Yes, where he like bought the town or something like that.
Slowly but surely, he bought all these elements of a town to basically create his own perfect world. Like, he built a club that he would want to play in. One of the great examples of this is they're talking to all the people in the town.
It's, and it's just
the
first town where he can just unadulterated play harmonica wherever he wants.
Dude, this is what I'm going to tell you. He literally builds this club. And the residents of Haley have not really talked about it. And the reporter does an amazing job of getting in there. And so, okay. This club is bringing people like, you know, B.B. King and George Clinton. And one of the locals who's interviewed is like, yeah, you know, we're just like not into that kind of music. Like, we're more of like a, like, we like country music, but he just would just bring bands in that he could jam with. Like, and he would just get on stage and just start playing harmonica all the time. So he basically created a venue for him to get up and play harmonica.
That's
all
amazing.
The time. And there was like a diner in town that there was a diner. He built another one that's like an old school diner, had like red velvet or red leather seats. But his diner served hummus, and he wanted a diner that would have hummus. The other diner didn't have hummus. So it's like all like little things.
It was
like
a hummus. They did all the regular dishes, but then in addition, they just had hummus.
Right. Like he basically like he took everything and Bruced it. Like he's like, I want this stuff. And he did amazing stuff for the town, but it's a fascinating journey.
That's incredible.
Because I remember as a kid, I don't know if you remember this, but it was like an HBO special where it was like live from Haleywood, Idaho, Bruce Willis in True West. It was like he had built his own theater in Haley and was putting on like live performances. And then like he's holding premieres for his movies there, but no one like lives in this small town. He's trying to shoot movies in this town. Like
that's fascinating.
It's fascinating. It's a free podcast. You can get it wherever you listen to your podcast, but it is.
Ooh, I love that.
They go down so smooth, and I'm just like, oh, I cannot wait to hear more and more, because it was
one
of those weird facts.
Did you listen to the Devil's Candy season of The Plot Thickens? Or did you listen to the audiobook of Devil's Candy? Either way.
No, I listened to the podcast, which was phenomenal. Yeah. I think we might have even talked about it here.
I think we talked about it briefly. But yeah, that was an incredible series. That book is incredible. And also, I think I mentioned this last time, but The Plot Thickens, the new season, is all about Lucille Ball.
Oh, yes. I know this because June got a pair of Airbuds with Lucy's face on them.
Airbuds, the basketball playing
Airbuds.
Dog.
Oh yeah, Airbuds, and they are little dogs that you put in your ears.
I still think that is a marketing idea that needs to happen. Airbuds,
you'll never lose them.
They're AirPods that look like golden retrievers.
You see, that is
jumping into your ears, or dunking a basketball into your ear. The basketball is like the foam part that goes in your ear, and the AirBud is dunking the basketball in your ear. Sorry, go ahead.
I would be. I'm all in. How is that Lucy one? Is it good?
It's good so far. I haven't. I've listened to, I think, maybe just the first three, and I think there's a couple more that have come out since. Super fascinating. Like what? What an incredible, incredible character and person she is. Like, to dig in on Lucy is fascinating.
And she is not as nice as we were led to believe. Like, I remember
not
reading that
all.
There was a, yeah, there's like a letter that I once saw that someone unearthed that was just really like, I will bring like pain and destruction to my enemies. Like basically it was like, yeah. I'm holding accounts on everyone who has wronged
me.
She's a
real tough character, you know, really interesting, yeah. Really, but like so compelling. It's definitely, it's the plot thickens. It's absolutely worth listening to. Great. I'm super
And I heard,
it.
And this is now via, this is Quarchat recommendations via a friend who I do believe in, that the movie is actually really good.
Like, oh, the Nicole Kidman one?
Surprisingly,
okay.
Yeah, like just really well done, like Sorkin being Sorkin, yep. But in the best possible way.
All right.
So
I'm into
That's a on the side recommendation of somebody that I trust, so I'm bringing it here to you.
All right, I'll take it. I'll take all of it. That's great. I was going to say, have you? I think we talked about it before last year, but the incredible series "How to" with John Wilson has returned. Season 2
yeah.
is up. I think only a couple of episodes have aired so far. Both of them I've watched and are absolutely incredible. This is just one of the most impressive and most incredible shows that is currently on television. It is on HBO Max. John Wilson's a documentarian, and he just shoots footage of New York, in and around New York, finds these. It's like, it's a show that is predicated entirely on like the yes and ethos. Like he'll meet a person just randomly in a situation, and he'll yes and him, like by just talking to the person, suddenly you're in that person's home, and suddenly this person is showing you all of their what their obsession is, and it's fascinating, and it really goes places that are so fascinating and you never expect, so surprising, and then they're always on these incredible, they're thematically so resonant. So absolutely worth watching How To with John Wilson.
Yeah, it's one of those like small shows that I feel like is whispered about, like, oh, have you, like you're looking for people who have seen that first season, because it was a show that did not get a lot of like wide publicity.
Well, it happened to be released right as the pandemic was beginning. So I feel like nobody was paying attention to like, what's good on TV right now? Everybody was like, what's happening? Are we dying? Like, and so I feel like it got a little bit lost in that early pandemic kind of shuffle. And it's produced by Nathan Fielder. So if you are a Nathan Fielder fan, you will absolutely like this show. It is very kind of like a spiritual cousin of that show, you know?
Yeah. And you know, it's speaking about HBO, I don't know if you read this thing today, but it's an article that I really think everyone needs to read. You watch Succession on HBO, right?
I'm going to be completely honest here, Paul, and tell you I am still in season 1 of Succession.
All right. Well,
it is one of my embarrassing blind spots. Go ahead.
Well, okay. Then all I will say is this. There was an article that came out this week about the actor Jeremy Strong,
okay,
who plays Kendall in it. And it is one of the most, I'm like obsessed with reading profiles that are like that are like head scratchers. And this is a head scratcher one. Like this
Ooh,
is
good.
One.
Okay.
It is a, I know this is like out of the realm of what we normally talk about, but
Ooh, that's fascinating.
He is a method actor.
Oh boy.
Who clearly knows his cast members hate him. There's a lot of things that are not said in the article.
Can
but
I ask you a question?
They're there.
Does he know his cast members hate him? And,
yes.
And is that for him a victory? Because the character, he's playing a character that those characters hate? Like, is that the point?
Because this article goes into into great detail about other things that he's worked on and acts the same way.
Okay.
I think there is, he's an actor who isolates himself. One of the stories that they tell is like, they're shooting that movie, The Judge, with Robert Downey Jr. And, you know, he's Robert Downey Jr.'s brother in that, and he's autistic in that. So he spent some time in and working with the autistic community, but then also started requesting things of the prop department that were not in the film. And the prop department were like, well, I don't have time to make that for you because that's not one of the things that like
that's,
is
that's
in
called
the film.
For, yeah.
Yeah. And then he would start showing up to set in character and be weeping, but not on days where he was shooting.
Oh,
so he was like on set. Yeah. So it's,
oh, that's fascinating.
It is like one of those,
okay,
like real
wait.
Good, yeah, like yeah, yeah, real yeah. good ones that you're like, oh boy.
Oh, that's like everyone, perfect.
Yeah. So it is, and I don't think it will wreck anything for you as far as like what
oh,
the
no,
character
no, that's
is.
Fine.
Yeah,
that's that. That I is, can separate that. That's fine.
Yeah, yeah. No,
oh, that's
I mean,
amazing. It,
yeah, it's a great. It's great. I mean, spoiler wise, more than
oh, I see what you're
actor,
saying. Yeah, yeah, that I would like turn against the actor. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I get
or
it
that
now.
You would know so that you would know something about the upcoming season.
About the
more,
show.
More,
yeah, yeah,
yeah.
No,
that,
I get
yeah.
it now. But yeah. even that, I don't. I'm not a big yeah. spoiler person. That's fine by me.
Oh God, it's so fun.
Holy
it's like,
shit,
it is
funny.
Oh. Because it also feels like, and I think he is phenomenal on the show, so it has something, like, whatever he's doing is working, but when you get, like, an unfiltered, like, I don't think that people are, I think that people give a lot of respect to Daniel Day-Lewis, so they wouldn't say, like, oh, this asshole built a cabin. Like,
yeah,
but
yeah, yeah.
here, you're getting a lot of energy of, like, oh, this fucking guy. and so there's a lot of that. Like, a lot of like, Aaron Sorkin going,
I want
like,
a movie.
He wanted this.
I want a two-hander with Jeremy Strong and Daniel Day-Lewis.
oh, my God.
Where they play, oh, like... Where they play like
they would love
more,
it. They would live together. Yeah. They would like build a boat together and go sailing and become pirates. So you know.
Oh my God, that would be incredible. That would be I want to make Neil Simon's The Odd Couple with Daniel Day-Lewis and Jeremy Strong.
Real grounded, really, like really getting to the heart.
Really
divorced
intense.
Men.
Yes.
Living in this world. What's next?
One's a slob. And one is so uptight.
Oh my God, please put that in there. Oh, I want that. I want like somebody to make a mashup.
I
want to
genuinely try and make that.
Oh God, let's get that
just
going.
Just watch them just destroy each other on set. That would be incredible. Where are you on Hawkeye?
Oh, I'm
so
all
here's,
in.
Here's what I'll say. This is a good, to your point, to your earlier point, a good Christmas gift for somebody in your life that you might, mm-hmm. That is enjoying Hawkeye or that enjoys comics or that has mm-hmm. an interest in that stuff. There's a large portion of this Hawkeye series that's on Disney Plus right now is based on the Matt Fraction, David Aja, Hawkeye series that came out, I can't remember, 8 years ago now.
Yeah.
It's just one series of comics that is absolutely transcendent and incredible. If you've been watching the show, it introduces the tracksuit bros and the all this kind of stuff and Pizza Dog and a lot of these characters and a lot of the look of the show is based on this specific comic series that is all collected in one book now. So you can buy this book. It's Hawkeye. It's Matt Fraction, David Aja. And the book. So, I mean, the book is incredible comics and I'm loving the show.
I am too, Jason. Like, all right, I know some people I've talked to have had issues with like the first two episodes.
First two episodes were slow.
So, but I was still in because Hayley Stanfield is great.
She's great.
She's great. And I was like, oh my gosh, I felt like, not for the first time, but it was a new character that was introduced to the MCU that I'm like, I really want to see this. Like, I'm into seeing this character. And I also feel like they nailed Jeremy Renner. Like, they were like, okay, here's
the thing. They
finally
are figuring Jeremy. They've made, if you're a comics fan, and apologies if you are, this is going to be old news. But the MCU version of Hawkeye is not the Hawkeye of the comics that we've all grown up reading. Hawkeye doesn't have a family. Hawkeye doesn't have three kids. Hawkeye is the fuck up of the Avengers. He's always fucking
shit up. A surgeon who worked in Vietnam.
He was a villain
with a rogue,
at one point.
Yes. With different Hawkeye?
No, mixing drinks in his tent.
Yeah.
Radar O'Reilly was his best friend. Can you imagine if it was Alan Alda or Elliot Gould?
Get them in the show. Okay, sorry.
Well, that's the thing is, well, that's what this is a big question mark. They're talking about, you know, Spider-Man No Way Home has all of the different Spider-Men in it. And my understanding is that part of that also includes the Jeremy Renner Hawkeye, the Elliot Gould Hawkeye, and the Alan Alda Hawkeye are all in. They're all
finally. Feige said that now the MCU is finally going to be able to hold them all. It's going to be great. It's going to be really
great. The M in MCU now stands for MASH. But this series
that's where they got their special powers.
Exactly. This series is closest to giving us the Clint Barton Hawkeye that we know from the comics. The bruised and battered fuck up who's kind of who's quippy and has more banter. And isn't just kind of dour and the family man, which is what
I mean. I will say, like I'm a big Marvel fan. You know that we both are.
Yeah.
I just find that his character was a little bit underwritten, and they kind of gave him this like love story with Scarlett Johansson in the film, which I think is like the only real thing that we could really like hang on, you know, besides just being
it would have been great if that was a love story, but by introducing Linda Cardellini and him having three kids in Age of Ultron, you get this you really split him into these two different characters because one is this loving family man. And one is like an assassin, essentially, you know, and an Avenger. But, you know, when he becomes Ronin, there's so much interesting stuff to Clint Barton in the comics. And they're playing with some of it now. They're finally fleshing out the kind of what is interesting about Clint Barton, I think.
Well, what I was realizing was they I have an issue. I liked Winter Soldier, the show, the Winter Soldier show. I felt like they forced a buddy cop energy that wasn't necessarily there. And here, comedically, this show is very sound. Like they created Hawkeye, like he's a grumpy old man. He is like Danny Glover in that Lethal Weapon archetype, if you want to. And he's funny and good, and they added so much to his character.
And what's very true is he and Haley Steinfeld have great chemistry. And that's why for me, I also, because after the first two episodes, I was like, because I know there's only six. So I was like, oh, we're two in, and I would have liked for more to have happened by now, but I love their chemistry. There was so much there that I liked, but it still felt like we were like setting it up, and I was like, it's gonna be over quick. So episode three really was like, to me, I was like, thank God,
I feel like there's a tonal shift that happens in episode three. Those directors, Bert and Bertie, that directed that episode, like it just pops, and all of a sudden, like, the show is firing on full thrusters. And I do think that the way I watched the first two episodes, I was like, I watched them back to back because it came out on the same day. And now I feel like that may be a lot of setup to like get us forward, but whatever. And also another a Marvel for the Marvel fan in your life, there is that great book they released, the Marvel like compendium. It's like a coffee table book of the first 10 years of the MCU, and it's a great, funny stories from behind the scenes, things that they were going to do that they couldn't do. Like a very candid, and which is surprising for a big corporate book, but like those old school, like J.W. Rensler Star Wars books, this is for the Marvel thing.
Cool.
I was talking about it with Scott Aukerman, who has pointed out to me that there was many a typo in it. I guess to rush it out, they kind of solid pass.
He told me the same thing. So that gives you a little bit of insight into who Scott Aukerman is. He's the guy who wants to tell everybody about the typos in books. And I will say, if you like it, if Matt Fraction also wrote a book that I think I recommended here at one point called Superman's Pal Jimmy Olsen a couple of years ago for DC.
I don't know if I read that.
That is also now collected in like a one single book. And it's fantastic. It's so funny. It's just about the misadventures of Jimmy Olsen as he becomes like the focal point of the story. And it's great. You don't have to know much like the Hawkeye book that we're talking about. You don't need to know anything You can just go into both of these books and understand them. You don't need to know the history. You don't need to know back issues. You can just read these standalone stories, which are
I think those are really fun. And also that might be a nice sideways gift for the person in your world that does like a lot of Marvel stuff, but haven't read the books. Cause I think there's a large contingent of people who are like, that.
Oh yeah. Big time.
I will tell you, I have so many movies, things I want to talk to you about, but I will just start off with this. Have you seen The Green Knight?
I have not. I know it's David Lowery's movie and I have not yet seen it. Yes.
I loved it. Another polarizing film, I guess, but I don't know what your issue would be with it. I loved it. It is right now available to potentially rent, definitely buy on iTunes. It is a very, you know, it's a like medieval tale. It's about the Knights of the Round Table.
It's like an Arthurian legend, right?
Yes, and I won't say much more than saying that I love David Lowery. I think that I'm all in. Incredible.
And
I
one of like the best filmmakers working today, David Lowery.
Yes. And this is just right there. Visually, it's so good. I know Guillermo del Toro gets so much attention for his attention to detail and his lush visuals and things of that nature. And nothing, not to take away from him, but this is that same level of like, wow.
Ooh, that's
like,
great.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think you'll really, I don't want to talk too much about it, but just say like, it is a really, really fantastic and
did you
and
watch
a fun one
by any chance, The Harder They Fall?
Not yet. I've been wavering on watching it. I haven't heard
it's
anybody talk about it.
It's a blast. It's a Western. It's like a stylized Western. It's Idris Elba, Lakeith Stansfield. It's like got an incredible cast. It is super fun, super violent, really great kind of just Western shoot 'em up kind of. It's just great. It gave me like,
oh, I can't wait.
It hit like those Tombstone vibes for me, or you know, Unforgiven. Like there's a lot in there that is just really juicy, and the performances are exceptional. Jonathan Majors, who we talked about because he was introduced as Kang and will be Kang in the MCU. It's ostensibly he's the lead of it, although it's a huge ensemble piece. He's unreal. He's unreal in this movie. So good. I'm so excited for and it made me even more excited for Kang stuff coming through in Quantumania and wherever else he shows up, quite honestly.
This is the world, you know, though. Anything.
You know, yeah. He could be in any of these movies or TV shows.
Did you hear the news today that Charlie Cox is officially
back
in the MCU? As Daredevil. And now they're saying that really anyone is on the table. Like, so we thought for a while that maybe some of these MCU characters might be dead. And there was a lot of time
where we thought the Netflix, Jeff Loeb helmed Netflix series would have been not welcomed into the MCU. And it now seems as though they're going to pick and choose. Because it also seems, spoilers for Hawkeye, although this is not a spoiler because we don't know this, but it looks very much like Vincent D'Onofrio's Kingpin from the Netflix Daredevil series is going to be in Hawkeye.
And I would say if you have a good ear, you definitely heard his voice. I don't know anything about it, but I heard his voice.
But if you listen and you are paying attention, I think.
I perked up. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And it made me excited.
The other movie that I want to talk about that really briefly is a movie that might have also slipped under the radar, but I finally saw Zola. Janixa Bravo directed this movie, Zola. Great movie.
Incredible.
Really fun. And it's all
based on
that
a Twitter thread. Right? Was it Twitter or Instagram?
Twitter thread, like a 120 tweet thread or something crazy like that. And it's a true story about this woman who goes to a strip club, you know, goes out of state to a strip club with a woman she doesn't know. And that whole world kind of opens up there. And it is so fun. And it was one of those movies where
really
I was afraid to go to the theater and I didn't see it in the theater. And then I forgot that it was like available on Hulu and I watched it and I was like, oh, I'm so upset that I have not watched it earlier. The performances, Taylor Page is amazing. Riley Keough is fantastic. And Colman Domingo is so fucking scary.
Yeah.
And
Janixa Bravo, who, you know, did Lemon, which was a movie with Brett Gelman a number of years ago, is just an incredible filmmaker. So
she's her attention to detail and the little things that she does. Like I was saying that the sound design in that was just, I feel silly to talk about the sound of that, but it's like she's everything is intentional. Everything is specific, and it's really well done.
Have you watched any of the Beatles documentary?
All right, this is where I'm a little bit behind. I've only watched the first like hour, and I'm ready to get into it, and I want to get into it.
We can talk about it next time because it is absolutely one of my top five things of the year.
This is because
of two things. It's like, and I understand. I've talked to some people who are like, "Oh, it's so long. Oh, it's kind of boring," or blah 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 blah. But here's the thing. It's about two things that I am obsessed with, and it's only about those two things, the creative process and interpersonal dynamics. So,
and Billy Preston?
And Billy, oh my God, when Billy Preston shows up, it is electric. And it's electric to the band because he shows up at a period where they're down, where they're struggling. And Billy Preston shows up and everybody is like comes alive again. It's so exciting. Wow. It's so exciting to watch. You know, even let me say this. Even if you don't like the Beatles, this documentary is not like a hooray, we love the Beatles. This documentary is there are cameras set up looking at the Beatles while they're trying to write songs but are mostly fighting with each other.
And just so people know the context, this movie was already released many years ago. Peter Jackson
just pieces of it.
Well, didn't they have a full movie? And then Peter Jackson
not that it's eight hours long.
Peter Jackson got all the footage and reconceived it because I think what was released the original documentary made it look as if. They basically made it sensational rather than what it was.
Yes.
And Peter Jackson went back in, was able to digitally remaster things, pull voices out, things out that you've never seen, and has created this 7 to 8 hour opus
that is exciting. It is so fascinating. I think I love it just because it's about process. You're watching how these songs came to be and what happened, and you're watching them in the moment. Paul just kind of strumming along on his bass, blah blah blah, blah blah blah, blah blah blah, get back to where you, and you just like lines just pop out, and you're like, holy shit, I'm watching the moment where this song was birthed. That's crazy.
Wow.
And when I tell you, nobody's even paying attention. Like they have such kind of disdain for each other at this point in the process that you're watching them create absolute classic music inside of band dynamics that are fairly miserable. It's great. It's worth it.
All right. Well, that's a good assignment for me. I have more that I want to talk to you about. I want to get into it. We will do it again because why not? We are still here.
Absolutely.
All right, we had to cut that one a little bit short. We will be back later in the month to keep on talking. I know I hit Jason with a surprise there, but as we were recording, I realized I had to drop my son off at basketball. And you know what? I can't be one of those dads who's not going to bring his kid to basketball. Not because I'm sitting here talking to Jason about fucking Hawkeye. So I had to do that. I'm sorry. We'll be back, though. We'll be talking more. And like I said, a reminder. Vancouver, February 24th. How Did This Get Made? Will be in the Just for Laughs Festival. You can get tickets right now. Go for it. Just go to hdtgm.com. You'll get the link right there. It's easier than me giving you a long thing. All right, let's get to next week's movie. We are back, people. Our first live show. We haven't even done it yet. I'm nervous about it. It is a virtual show that we are doing. And the virtual show that we are kicking this season off with is Snowmance. Now, Snowmance is a Hallmark film. And we were really hoping to get Jessica St. Clair for this episode. And I will tell you this much. She is in London. And like the time that we're doing this is like 4 a.m. and getting Jessica to do internet hookup at like the proper time is already a battle. I can only imagine trying to get her up at 4 a.m. and do like a recording setup. It wouldn't make any sense. So I don't want to burst your bubble. Jessica will not be there for this virtual show, but We got some surprises. Here's a breakdown of the snowman's plot. Each year, Sarah builds up her snowbow at the snowman with her best friend, Nick. And after another breakup, she begins to wonder if she'll ever find true love of her own. And after a little Christmas magic, well, guess what? Her snowbow comes to life. That's right. We're talking about a snowman who fucks. Just like Jack Frost, the dad who died in a DUI accident, no, it was a truck accident, who came back as a snowman. This is a snowman who gets it on with a lady who's looking for love. It's not rated on Rotten Tomatoes, of course not, but a user on IMDb says this about the film. It's not for everybody. You know the ending at the very beginning, but it's kind of a pleasant journey. This isn't for everybody, obviously. Probably just real romantics. All right, let's take a listen to the trailer.
It was love at first sight. Anyone could see that. I love you. I can't believe this is happening.
What are you doing? Did you make me into your snow boyfriend?
I'm sorry, Sarah. Come on.
You can have anyone you want. I like romantic. Someone who can sweep me off my feet. All he needs is a name. I like Cole. Let's do this every year.
Here's to another Christmas being single. He's a blank canvas. Got to be adventurous. Charming. Someone who will
sweep you off your feet.
Come Christmas, I'll be in love. Hi.
I just happened to be passing by when I spotted this.
I don't know how to thank you.
How about lunch?
Sounds good.
Cool.
Cool.
Cool like our snowman, Cole.
You have to come outside and see this.
Picked her up in a carriage?
Do you feel warm?
Is it you warm? Warm out here.
And you don't find it just a little bit strange that this perfect guy happens to breeze into your life and melt your heart?
How long have you been in love with her?
Pretty much my whole life.
Does she know?
You can't just wait around. How many more snowmen are you planning on building?
I don't like you. I want her to find true love, Nick.
Why are you trying to ruin my relationship with Cole?
Because I've been in love with you since the fifth grade.
You're not the only one waiting for a wish to come true. Are you really going to try and convince me that you don't have any feelings for him?
I don't know.
I just want you to be sure that what you're feeling is more than romance.
You can watch Snowmance on Tubi. You know, Tubi, that means quality. Vudu and Amazon Prime for free with subscriptions, or check your local ION channel listings. And as always, check your local public libraries. I don't think they're going to have this one, but check them anyway. Just get to your libraries. All right. There's no movie bitches this week, but Avril Halley, our movie picking producer, and Andrew Galdi, they do an amazing job. And a big just shout out to them as always. That's it for the show. Remember to rate and review it. It helps. Visit us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and our Facebook page at facebook.com/HDTGM. And our Twitter is just, you know, HDTGM. It's the same as our Instagram. You know what the deal is. If you want to hear the entire show without commercials, our back catalog, everything in between, you can do that by going to Stitcher Premium, signing up there. The app has gotten a lot better. For a free 1 month trial, use the code BONKERS. A big thank you to our super producer, Cody, our MVP. That's our most, well, I'm going to say another producer, Molly Reynolds. I used to call her MVP, but she's an official producer now. I'm going to say our audio engineer, Devin, is just killing it. Our just man behind the scenes, July Diaz, and everybody at Earwolf. Thank you all for all the work that you do, and we will see you next time for a great snowmance.